In the name of the risen Jesus, amen. Jesus, who just shows up that Easter evening, even in all the fear and the duties of life. I'd like to focus on that last verse of our gospel reading, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This seems to fit as we're in New York City. And although there are great cities in the world, this is the greatest. Come on, we New Yorkers know it. The city is a theme that's found throughout the scriptures. And this little verse actually is a fulfillment of all the cities, you could say, that go before, or at least the theme of the city as a place of refuge and hope, ultimately found in Jesus Christ. You know, we think about New York City, right? Don't we have a range of emotions? The disciples had a range of emotions that Easter evening. Fear, astonishment, bewilderment, stress, even peace. When I think about the range of emotions of living here, that's about right. Sort of stress and somewhere between looking for peace. Jesus tells us to stay in the city. And there's a range of expressions and experiences in the city. Everything from rats to pizza rats. Everything from Hop Lee to homelessness in the park. It's all here, isn't it? You could say the city is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, cities in scripture reflect that as well. Plato in his Republic, ancient philosophy, not scripture, but some good wisdom, compares actually the city to the soul. And that's strikingly similar to what scripture does. The whole city, with its range of good and bad, is like the soul with the good and the bad. Or to put it in terms that Lutherans would use, we are sinners and we are saints. There's law and there's gospel. There's bad and there's good. And we have it right in our souls. And of course, we see it in our cities. All kinds of experiences then. And all of this is the backdrop for Jesus in Jerusalem, who, of course, dies in a city, bad for sin, and rises in a city, good for new life. It's all there in that city of David. If we go back to cities in Scripture, right, we might also think about St. Augustine, who's a famous Christian. St. Augustine has a way of formulating this in Scripture. He was a Latin, African pastor, theologian some 1,500 years ago. And he famously talked about a city of God and a city of man, or a city of grace and a city of sin. And all of those cities are interwoven in this life. And all of those cities reflect the sinner and saints in our hearts. That Easter evening, it starts with astonishment. The disciples can't believe that Jesus is really there. Jesus, after all, is dead. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to see it. And rather than being too hard on the disciples, if a dead person actually appeared right away in the midst of our room to hear, we would also be more than just a little bewildered. It would totally be beyond anything we can understand or even accept. That's what happens with Jesus. And it starts that way to remind us of the brokenness of sin. Brokenness that in many ways is concentrated in cities in Scripture. A brokenness that goes back to Adam and Eve, right? And do you remember what happens after Adam and Eve? The brokenness of the family. Cain killing Abel. Not only do Adam and Eve sin against God, now the family actually sins against one another. And out of this experience, we've had the first sign of a city, actually, in Scripture. A first sign of a city there. From a first sin among husband and wife to a broken family. It says in Genesis 4, Cain spoke to his brother Abel, and then doesn't use words, only uses violence. And it says there, it goes on, that Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, which means unrest, east of Eden. Cain knew his wife. She conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city of Cain, the first city. And you remember what Cain has upon him in that city? A mark of sin, right? And a mark of deliverance that he will be protected, even as he's a sinner. Isn't that how we start Lent? With the mark of Cain on all of us? Cain is the first city dweller. And he lives there in safety and in sin and in also hope. That's what's behind our reading today with Jesus saying, stay in the city. We go on though in our reading, right? It's not just bewilderment. It's not just stress. It's not just concern. Jesus reassures them. He appears in the city, in that room. He appears to them, goes inward into their souls to give them his peace, says, do not be troubled, even eats in front of them. And he says, here is where forgiveness is going to start. Repentance and forgiveness here in the city. Law and gospel. Bad news and good news. All found here and it's given. In Acts, which is a continuation of Luke, starts then right in Jerusalem, in the city where Jesus promised. And you can chart the geography in Acts from there. And where does Acts end? To the greatest city of that time, the New York of its day, ancient Rome, with Paul in Rome, that great city, Paul in Rome, preaching Jesus Christ, talking about repentance and forgiveness found in Jesus. Paul, that first missionary, stays in the city all the way to Rome, where he gives his life for Jesus. Pretty remarkable. The city experiences all that. And that helps us, right? Because what Jesus does in our reading is not only show up, he shows us where we can find him. He opens to us the scriptures, that we might not see Jesus face to face, but we experience him and we receive his message in the living word. And Jesus opens that to them. And he, doesn't it reform our understanding and give us the ability to read scripture in a new way? And if you take city like that, right, it gets kind of interesting because there's a passage in Jeremiah 29. We know it, Jeremiah 29, as the Lord will be with us and what he proposes he will do. But also in Jeremiah 29, it goes on. It talks about the city. It's often not read this part, but in Jeremiah 29, as we've been opened with Jesus to see scripture again, maybe we can look at the city in a new way, in Jesus. It says this, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on the city's behalf. For in the city's welfare, you will find welfare. And what is this city, this Babylon, this place of exile, as they are a remnant, as they are taken from Jerusalem to a new city, that greater city, ancient Babylon, even before Rome? They're there, and they're to seek the welfare of that city. And God says, that's how others will know that I am God, when you seek the welfare of others. Others will see our good works and our concern for our neighbors in the city, and somehow it will point to God, our Heavenly Father, who is over all cities. One Christian puts it this way. It's a pretty radical idea, right? You got to kind of be open to this by the Holy Spirit, that God's people should work for the people who are not living in right relationship with God. These are not the people of God. These are people who have taken the people of God into exile by force. And this may sound radical to us today, but it is very much in accord, isn't it, with Jesus? He tells us to love everyone, including our enemies. Who shows up in the city? Who says, stay in the city? Love your neighbor as yourself? Isn't that what Jesus says fulfills the law? It is right in line with the idea that Israel, God's people at the time, were to be a blessing for the nations. All the way back to Abraham, Genesis 12. It's easy to miss all that, isn't it? With the stress and the frustrations and the anxiety that the city might create. But doesn't Jesus show up today in an even more powerful way in his word? And doesn't he show up today here in his meal, just like he did for those two disciples at home in Emmaus, here in our home, this place of refuge in a city? And doesn't he forgive us? And doesn't he reveal the sin within us and save us with his grace? And hopefully opening our minds to viewing the welfare of others as our concern. In kind of a new angle, if you will, or a new vantage for viewing the city as a place of service, just like it was back for the prophet Jeremiah and those exiles. We who are exiled from heaven, who walk this far by faith, seeking the welfare of the city because of the welfare of Jesus Christ, who gives his life for all. It's all there in the city, right? Sin, salvation right here. There are saints, there are sinners. Jesus says to stay in the city where God has placed us to be, to seek his grace, his community. And although the city might be full of takers, this is where we receive. And let's not be too proud to realize that we also don't have to come up here and hear the words take and eat. And when we take and eat, we realize we're hungry and we realize that we need to receive. We need to receive that grace and welfare of Jesus, which changes us to seek out grace and welfare for others. Stay in the city and be clothed with spirit from on high. Amen.